yard on some island places. Even also this morning. Amen. Turn over to Matthew 14, please.
Hello?
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 Matthew 14, we'll start by verse 22.
Your plans.
Father God, we do love, thank you for raising back the fire over the name. We thank you for another opportunity to gather in the mind of the Father God around your word. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to feed our faith on your word, Father God, to be able to feed our spiritual. Just like we've ate naturally throughout the day today, I thank you, Father God, we get to feed our spiritual man right now. And I thank you, Father God, that we don't take this lightly. We come to your word full of faith and expecting, Father God. And I thank you that my tongue will be as the pen of a ready writer, bringing forth truth from your word this evening. Not only for this congregation, but Father God, also for myself, so that I might see more light. Because once we honor light, more light will be given. And so we thank you, Father God, for everything that we've known up till now. But now we thank you for more light on the scripture that we're about to read this evening. And we thank you for it, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody agreed, said,
Amen.
Amen. Excuse me, I coughed right into the microphone.
Yeah, you did.
So, excuse me. Amen. So you can only hear what your humility and your faith can receive. Amen. You can only hear what your humility and your faith can receive.
Yeah.
Amen. You have to have the humility to admit it and have faith to not get down over it, but that you can overcome it and not get depressed about it. Amen?
It's twice now.
Amen. That's talking a little bit more about taking not just correction, but correction, but also help. You know, the I know it's there out. You know? Amen. Because, what if we got out of kindergarten and we graduated kindergarten and went to the first grade and we're like, I learned it all. I don't need to go to first grade. What for? They just taught me everything I need to know. A lot of times we treat the word like that. And then we get to a place to where I know. You know, and then we're unable to receive anything from anybody else.
Yeah.
Because we have that I know attitude. Or we might have further education in some area or something like that, and then we try to help somebody, and they're like, I know that. Do you? Because I haven't met anybody that knows everything.
That's right.
No. Everybody might know a part of something. I know a part of a lot of stuff.
Amen.
Amen. Someone might say, well, the Lord made me this way. Yeah, he did. But we're the ones that developed the attitude.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. We're the ones that developed the smacking of lips. I don't know why they talk to me like that. So I'll read the title again. You can only hear what your humility and your faith can receive. Amen. We'll read our Matthew 14 real fast. Starting by verse 22 and read by King James. It says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him unto the what? Amen. So Matthew 14, chapter 14, verse 22. Amen. Everybody there?
Yep.
All right. And straightway Jesus constrained us. We want to know the point behind us making sure that we're on scripture, so that you got eyes on it. so that now you can't just go off of what I'm saying. You actually have eyes on it, and you're like, okay, it does say that. Because what if we went to school and the teachers didn't give us any textbooks?
That's right.
But said, this is how the math problem is.
Yep.
This is what happened in history. And see, that's how history and everything got so off track. There's some people that don't even believe what Hitler did, what he did.
That's right.
Did y'all know that? Yeah. It's amazing to me that people are like, no, that really didn't happen. Are you sure? Have you looked at anything?
Yeah.
Move them off. Amen. It's got sidetracked. Right. Amen. Does the Bible work back there? In the back?
Yeah, we're fixing some computer life stuff. Yeah.
And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was what?
Alone
there. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was what?
Contrary.
Yes. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a what?
Spirit.
And they cried out for fear. Amen. But straightway, Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be what?
Not afraid.
Amen. It's funny that they cried out, it's a spirit.
Amen.
Because how do they know what that is? So they've had to have been told horror stories.
Yeah.
It's amazing what your words will develop in people's minds and in their hearts.
Yep.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. All right. That's for another time. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to who?
Jesus.
Amen. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately, say immediately.
Immediately,
Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou, what?
Of
little faith. Wherefore did thou, what?
Doubt.
Amen. In the Weymouth, in verse 30, it says, where it says, but when he saw, it says, but when he felt. Amen. But when he felt the wind. That's whenever he began sinking. Because senses, right?
Yes.
Amen. Keep going, please. And immediately he stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Next. And when they were gone into the ship, the wind ceased, right?
Yes.
It's interesting. In verse 31, if you look it up in the easy read, it says, your faith is small.
Yeah.
That's what it says in the easy read. Right? I wonder if Peter, this happened, right? I wonder if he gets back on the boat or if he would have began talking like, you know, whenever I got to Jesus, he never told me good job or nothing. He didn't say good job. He didn't say nothing. The only thing he said to me was, you got little faith. That's it. That's all he said to me. And look at all these other disciples. Everybody else is in the boat. I'm the only one that got out. Nobody else got out. What's he talking about? Little faith. I got bigger faith than everybody else in this boat. I got on the water. I don't know why Jesus would even say something like that to me in the first place. He's the one who told me to come out. Amen. You ever notice how many miracles and things happen in Peter's life?
Mm-hmm.
Quite a few.
Yeah.
We'll read some more here in a minute. But if he'd have began saying that, you think any of that stuff would have happened?
No.
Where would he have been at? He'd probably stayed right there on the bank whenever they got there.
Yeah.
You know, he could have complained, you know, I gave up my livelihood. I quit my business and I came along with Jesus. I'm away from my family and the only thing he's going to tell me is I got little faith. What is this? But taking things with humility. Being able to be corrected and not get mad about something just because you don't think it's said the way you think it needs to be said.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You know, there's quite a few times I've been corrected by my parents, and not just as my parents, but as my spiritual parents. They told me things. I was riding along with my dad one day in his truck, and we were listening to a sermon, and all of a sudden I just went, okay, I'll do it. And my dad almost wrecked because he started laughing, right? But I encourage correction for my life. Because number one, if I am going down the wrong road, please help me. So that I don't just derail and go off in the ditch. Amen. I like correction because that means I'm getting lined back out and I can go further now. Amen. Amen. A lot of times it's just little bitty things that we allow to get us just kind of off or get us mad about something.
Yes.
I don't know why he'd talk to me like that. First off, who does he think he is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
Amen. Amen. First off, I can sing like a canary. Why I ain't on the praise and worship team. I don't know why he's talking to me like that, because first off, I tithe a lot to that church. I clean. I take care of kids. Who does he think he is talking to me like that? Amen. Hallelujah. But if we allow that to derail us, Satan's getting everything done that he wants to accomplish.
Amen.
But if we don't allow that offense, we don't allow that anger or whatever it is to derail us, we can stay true and continue to move forward.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And a lot of times it's just, maybe it's half and half. Sometimes it's authority issues sometimes too. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Oh, he can't talk to me like that, first off. I'm older than he is. I've been to way more school than he has. That is not what that scripture says. Amen. Smile and say, this is pretty good. Amen. So how's you know, Peter didn't go off.
No.
He didn't, did he?
No.
He might have got hurt, but he didn't allow his flesh to dominate.
Right.
And that, a lot of times, if we think about it, we just allow our flesh to do whatever it wants to do. If you think about it, you know. We might as well be honest and talk.
Yeah.
We family. Hey, we family.
Yes.
We just allow our flesh to do it sometimes.
Yes,
you know, I've been guilty of it too. I've allowed my flesh, like Chelsea, you know, she'll do something. You do something around here, what are you doing? You know, you just allow your mouth just to run and you don't think.
Yeah.
But I'm getting way better at keeping my mouth shut and not always speaking fast.
Yeah.
People that are always talking are sinning.
Yeah.
That's another sermon for another time. Because number one, you can talk a lot. You can, but what are you talking about? Because eventually now you're going to start talking about somebody or something. Now you're getting your mouth on somebody else, on a situation that it shouldn't be on, that's got nothing to do with you. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm definitely getting a lot better. Holy Ghost is helping me every day just to keep my mouth shut.
Amen.
And not be so quick to answer, not be so quick to say things.
Amen.
So that I don't say something that I'll have to go back and repent over later. Or ask that person to forgive me, because that's worse than saying it sometimes. Because you're just like, that pride. Man, They were wrong, though. Why do I got to say I'm sorry? Amen. But we're not little kids, though, either, right? Amen. We're growing up, ain't we? We're growing up, ain't we?
Amen.
And that's how grown-ups start acting. They start maturing, don't they? They don't just run around babbling off the mouth all the time. That's what like 18 through 22-ish, 25-year-olds do. Because number one, they know everything. Look, I was there. Trust me. I knew everything when I was 20. I knew everything when I was 11, actually. You know, everybody might not be mouthy. Me? Yes, I know I was. I'd fight anything. I was just mouthy. I was mouthy. I know I was. And so I've always quit to come back. Somebody's going to say something, you're going to have to back it. Because you ain't just going to talk to me like you're just going to talk to somebody crazy. See, and that's not the way to live. Look, my blood's starting to boil right now. I can feel it like I was so mad. But that was one deal I had to work on. I'm serious because, you know, Satan will know whenever you're having a low day.
Yeah.
And so he'll make sure somebody comes up to you and goes, that's the stupidest outfit I've ever seen. I wish they'd say that one more time. Boy, you just want to hit them sometimes. But we don't because we're good Christians, right? Or is that's yeah. Oh, that's how you decided to do your hair today? First off, say something about my hair one more time. So we learned to speak slowly. That's what Peter did. I'm sure he could have got offended at any point during that.
Yeah.
Think about it. We could have. If that was us on the water, we're like, man, we are walking on water right now? Yeah, what's up? We out there just strutting like a peacock, right? Rolling along, and then all of a sudden something hit, and we start sinking. We're like, Jesus, help! Then he looks at us like, little faith. What? Who are you talking to? Come out! And then we get on the boat. You know all the disciples heard Jesus say it.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Look, he wasn't talking to me. He's talking to y'all. First off, none of y'all got out the boat. Amen. Amen. Go to 15:21 real fast. Just chapter 15, verse 21 here. Everybody there? Say amen when you get there.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Matthew 15.
Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the... Actually, let's read it in Mark 7, please. Mark 7, verse 24. Sorry. Mark 7, verse 24. Mark 7:24, there it is. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house and would have no man known it. This is Jesus, right?
Yeah.
He just heard and found out about John. But he could not be hid. So he was trying to get away by himself.
Yeah.
Not be bothered.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Next. For a certain woman whose younger daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter.
Yeah.
But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, right? Because she was a Gentile. Yes, because she is a Gentile, right? That's why he's telling her this. Look, this isn't for you right now. For it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she what?
Answered.
Amen.
Your reaction will always determine your outcome. Your reaction will determine your outcome. There was a time I was hungry. And I was going after this big deer. I actually have him on the wall now. He's a 14-point, good-looking deer. Man, good-looking deer. And I was hunting, and I was going to go up to my stand after work one day, and Richard ended up putting a hole in the fuel tank on the dump truck, and he called me. He's like, "Hey, I need you to come out here and help me, man. I just poked a hole in this fuel tank. I need you to bring me some more fuel, because I got to switch the valve off on the tanks, because it almost drained it all out." And I could have got really angry. I don't know why this moron did that. It's after work. I'm off work. I ain't working. You can call somebody else to come get you, man. I'm trying to go hunt right now because I know that deer's going to be up there. But I said, okay, you know what? I'll shoot over there real fast and I'll help you. And there's a ways out of town. And so I did. And I ended up coming back and I only had about 30 minutes of daylight left. I was like, you know what? I'll just go out there real fast. I didn't even get my stand. I just stood up against the fence. And I'm standing there maybe 15, 20 minutes, and I heard something. I looked over, and that big buck is staring at me from that wall to me. I'm almost fainting. Biggest deer I've ever seen. Right? Ended up getting a shot, obviously killing. But the reaction that I made whenever he caught me, it could have been changed from a whole nother way. Your action will always determine your outcome. It will. Because whenever you get put in a tight spot, I don't know why, this always happens to me. How are we going to pay for this now? See, you're determining your outcome. But if you look at it and say, thank God, God supplied all my needs. I have tied the rights. This is, Satan is not able to destroy anything that I own. Everything that I own functions.
Amen.
How God designed it to function.
Amen.
And it will last as long as I need it to last.
Yes.
My parents, if it's 60, 70 years old, it will still operate the way it was designed to operate.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So she answered. How'd she answer? I can't believe, first off, you tried to call me a dog. If anybody has a legitimate reason to be offended, it would be her. Because she just got called a dog. Last time, if you ever been called a dog, how did you react?
Amen.
Yeah. I don't think any of us would. But she answered and said unto him, "Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs." And she said, and he said unto her, "For this saying," for what saying?
What she just said.
For her answering it the correct way.
Yeah.
For her not flying off the handle. For her not being offended.
That's right. Amen.
Mm-hmm. She answered correctly.
Yes. Amen.
The last situations we've been in, how have we handled them?
Yeah.
Amen. The last situations we've been in, how have we handled them?
Amen.
And then a lot of times we have the outcome and then we're like, "God, I don't know why that happened. You should see that." Well, how did we deal with it?
Yeah.
How did we answer it?
Amen.
Amen. And he said unto her, "For this saying," amen. Amen. And he said unto her, "For this saying, go thy way, the devil," what? Amen. Next, please. "And when she was come to her house, she found the devil," what? "And her daughter laid upon the bed," right?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So she obviously answered the correct way. She didn't get offended.
Amen.
She didn't get mad.
Hallelujah.
Amen, right?
Yeah. Amen.
It's 8 o'clock already. Turn over real fast to Acts 3:6, please. Acts 3:6. Thank you. How are we answering situations? These are questions we need to ask ourselves. And if we've answered some wrong, just repent for them.
Amen.
Look, I do. If I do something that I know is ignorant, I repent for that and I ask you to forgive me. And if I did something wrong to somebody, I'm like, Chelsea, I'm sorry. Forgive me for doing that. She's like, I will. This time. No. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Who said it?
Peter.
Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and what?
Walk.
Amen. You think he'd have been able to be used here?
No.
If that situation on the water would have been different?
No, sir. Amen.
I can't say yea or nay. I don't know, but I mean, if he'd have reacted wrong, I doubt it.
Amen.
If he'd got mad and you know what? I'm going to take everything I own. I'm going back home. You got me out here anyways, away from my family. I quit my business, you know. I'm out. I'm
Amen.
Out. Because you can't just talk to me like that.
Yeah.
I'm a volunteer. You can't just tell me what to do. Turn over to 9, Acts 9, please. Acts 9, verse 32. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dealt at what? Lydia, however you want to say it. I'll say it. Say it. We'll all say it. And there he found a certain man named what?
Ananias.
Which had kept his bed how many years?
8 years.
And was sick of what?
Falling.
And Peter said unto him, Ananias, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Who does?
Jesus Christ
maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose when?
Immediately.
And all that dwelt at Lydia and Sarah saw him and turned to the Lord. Amen. Thank God we got that out. Next. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. Yep. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds. Which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And for as much as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, what?
Weeping
and showing the coats and garments which that they did made, while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, amen, and knelt down and prayed, and turned him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had caught the saint and the widows, presented her what?
Alive.
You think she'd have been used if he'd had an attitude about Jesus talking to him like that? See, a lot of times, you know, the way we're responding, even if we're cleaning, sweeping, little things, it always determines bigger things.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really does. Because God's wanting to see how you're going to start offering. Because I guarantee the way that he was talking to him, that's how God told him to talk to him.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen.
I was listening to a minister. He ended up praying for my dad. He called this couple up that's their mentor. He called them up. He said, well, it's over.
God had me talking to y'all this way rough for a little while just to see what you were made of, to see if you'd stick it out. He said, y'all made it. See, God has people, more or less ministers, or thing, not just ministers, but it's a good way to say that. Well, in that case, he had them. God had them, him talking to them a little rough just to see, to make sure that they wouldn't just, this is too hard, I'm out. Y'all remember that one person that did that orphanage? He was over there forever, and he finally like, God, I thought you're the one that called me over here. Why do I only have like 5-10 kids? And he said, well, I need to make sure that you wasn't going to quit whenever it got rough.
Amen.
He said, if I'd have gave you 1,000 kids the first day, and then a week down the road it got too tough and you left, what are we going to do with the kids now?
Amen.
Right? So a lot of times it's just proving. Wanting to make sure you're not going to quit, you're not going to give up, that you'll stay with it, stay true, continue going forward.
Yes.
Amen. It might be a little hard, it might be a little rough, but it's helping us, right?
Yes.
Wanting to know that we're going to stay with it, stay true to it. You got anything? No? Amen. All right. You sure you can say, go ahead and say it? Go ahead and say it, because we got a few minutes. It's only 8:08, right?
Yeah.
Amen.
All right. Hallelujah. Lord, glory. Amen. It's been good. I just wanted to say one thing here. So he started off saying, you can only hear what your humility and your faith can receive. There's something with humility. Amen?
Amen.
God resists the proud. Right? So he cannot work with somebody that is dealing with some pride issues. Let's go over to 2 Chronicles 7. And this is a more of a popular scripture. But when we look at how powerful humility can be, and getting rid of pride in our life. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, who's his people?
We are.
We're his people.
Amen.
If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves.
Yep.
Shall humble themselves.
Yes.
There is something powerful about humbling ourselves and getting rid of that pride and those things that we think that, you know, we have, you know, just everything that Pastor Ricky was saying, I'm not going to go over, but it's so good. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, sometimes we just skip that humble ourselves part. We just kind of go through, if my people, ooh, that's me, hallelujah, are called by my name, yes, that's me, glory to God, well, humble yourselves and pray, hallelujah, there I am again. Yep. We kind of just whoop right over that humble part, right? Because that's the tough part. That's
Amen.
The part that really counts. That's the part that has an ouch factor to it, right? If my people who are called by my name humble themselves, we have to get to that point where we are humbling ourselves, amen, and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Turning from their wicked ways. Stopping the things that we know that are not in line with how God wants us to live our life.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Turning from our wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, glory to God, hallelujah, and heal their land.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you want me to pray? Father God, I thank you, Lord, that we take this time right now. Holy Spirit, go through us. Show us. Check us. Reveal to us those things that are in our life that are holding us back. This pride issue that tries to get in the way, that tries to keep us back, that tries to cause offense to come into our life. The word offense actually comes from the word in the Greek, a trap. That is a trap. Father God, show us those things that keep on trapping us and tripping us and keeping us in this perpetual circle of going around and around in our life again and again and never getting anywhere. But Father God, hallelujah, from this word that we heard tonight, we know the truth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And the truth will set us free. And we are free indeed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your word coming forth. Thank you, God, that you are showing us those things. Father God, yes, Lord, we repent right now. Father God, forgive us. Forgive us. That we do turn from these wicked ways. Satan was cast out of heaven for pride. Lord, what are we to even be saying those things of pride and how we know this and how we know that and different things. Lord, you know everything. But Lord, those things, Father God, we just say, forgive us. That we turn from those ways. And I thank you, Jesus, that you are there with open arms, forgiving us of our sin. If there's anybody in here tonight that has not made